My question is, what is the first thing that you do every day, and how do you parlay that into success? And it doesn't necessarily have to be a task, but how do you kind of build on what how you start your day and make that into a successful day?
It's really funny because I actually have a real answer, not like a cliche bullshit answer, but it's a very weird answer. I am basically an operating system. What I would call like the way I intake oxygen, my answer is gonna be this way. I'm not joking. This is not like I'm fluffy or Eric said I'm empathy and Ari said I'm a good guy. Like this is real talk now. I am so fucking pumped when I wake up in the morning and nobody called me in the middle of the night to say something atrocious happened that I'm like almost shook by gratitude that all the dog shit of my business day almost feels secondary. Right? Like honestly, I literally go into immediate gratitude. And then I grab my phone and look at my text, and most of it's like this problem in Singapore, this problem in London, this thing, this Jets player's not playing this week, all bad news. But because I had that quick, like, I don't think it's as like, or it's not as like direct as meditation, Coop, right? It's not as direct as that, but I would say 365 days, I would say 16 to 39 days a year, it's like directly thoughtful. Like I'm like, huh, all right. Right? But it's my constant operating system. It's how I live my life.
Gotcha. And then and just coping with the bad stuff, do you just kind of put yourself into a mental state where you can handle that and continue to operate while thinking about the good things and using your successes to kind of trump all that?
When I'm most struck, right now I have a crazy situation where there's a $10 million delta between a 4-year client at VaynerMedia where I was anticipating something and they're coming in at that level and it's devastating. It's bad for us. We're a small company. $200 million is great, but like, and we did it fast, but it's meaningful. Literally, this happened today. Literally, I go into what if they gave me $40 million, but I got a text that my mom's in the emergency room. I always put life's perspective as an overlay over business issues.
What's been your most effective way to find motivation in time of either feeling stagnant or maybe feeling uninspired or stuck?
Practicality, being practical about the situation, and suffocating entitlement. I think everybody here needs to realize that for all of us, we had the great fortune of being alive and living in America during the prime of its empireship. And if you look at the history of man over the last hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the reason those kind of situations tend to lose their way because people get entitled. People are like crying about things that people would literally love to have just 100 years ago. I mean, there's been harder times than COVID. We are soft because we're an empire. And I think when you understand that and take a step back, you can get a lot more grateful and realize this will evolve. And the perspective one deploys against time like this really matters. Instead of being upset for what you don't have, let's be happy for what you have. A lot of people died during this pandemic. If you or someone you love didn't, that's already a huge win. Next, a lot of you have rekindled your relationships with your children or your plus ones. Others have learned that their plus ones might not be for them in the long term, and the fact that you weren't around each other all the time is why it was sustainable. And as much as that may hurt and may sound silly, it's a real gift to realize that, and then hopefully both those individuals can go and become happy. There's a lot of great things that have happened here. I also want to remind everybody that had COVID started 2 months earlier, Kobe Bryant would probably be alive for 50 more years. There was a lot of people destined to die in a traffic accident over the last year that lives were saved because they were stuck in their home. To me, this is glass half full versus glass half empty, and that's how I approach these kind of conversations.
What separates good leaders who get the job done from a great one?
Intent. You know, like, what are you about? You know, I'm trying to get every person that I have ever spent any kind of time with to come to my funeral. That is my number one KPI. That is my number one KPI in my life. My number two KPI is enjoying the process of trying to buy the New York Jets professionally. That's a framework that allows me to be a great leader, right? You know, like, I don't care about anything other than legacy, which allows me to make human decisions instead of financial decisions every time I'm passed with them. I also had the great luxury of being raised by a parent, my mom, and my parents were together, my dad just worked all the time, who instilled disproportionate self-esteem in me, but also suffocated entitlement, right? So I have confidence, but I don't think I deserve anything. And if I disappear tomorrow, I don't think I meant anything regardless of the accolades. I mean it. I'll have 12 hours of good RIP Gary Vee comments and social and a story here or two and what, right? Like, you know, like I think when you have humility, but you layer it with ambition and kindness, you can create a real great formula. And I think how real what just came out of my mouth is the delta between good and great. And I think I can end up being great because I really am not joking to you. And I think a lot of people say what I just said and don't actually act on it. I don't think people are trickable on the record. I know people might find that stunning. I don't think it's a sustainable game. And so I live by that. You know, I love people, which is why I think social media, when you don't just use it as a blast thing, so real for me. I've been shocked by, like, even notice what I did with Chanel just now, and I'm clicking around, right? See, like I'm looking at Sarah Houston right now, I'm looking at Jake Van Ness, you know, I'm looking at Randy S, like I'm looking, right? Because I need human interaction. I've been blown away, Paul B's in the building, I've been blown away by how much I can feel y'all in this format. It's not 100, but it's fucking 96. And in that 96, it's gonna change a lot of things for me, right? I'm gonna be much more efficient with meetings. You know, I play in VIP life. I'm trying to get to dinner with a CEO to make things happen. Sometimes that takes me and her 9 months to lock in. That's easy now on Zoom over a glass of wine. I mean, my business development has changed forever. I'm gonna be far more efficient using the internet, go figure, to win that game because now everyone's used to Zoom life. And I think this mixed world of Zoom life and real life is very real now. And I think that, that's gonna be the biggest change, how I manage my time, because I'm gonna be able to use virtual as a weapon to be more efficient. No more waking up at 4:30 in the morning for one meeting in Chicago on a 6 a.m. flight for a 12:30 in Chicago and flying back at 6, that's fucking stupid. And that's gonna be pretty cool, which will lead to incredible impact. More time with my kids. I'm gonna catch more basketball games at 4:30 because I'm in the city and not in Chicago. Just more efficiency. I'm ecstatic.
As sales reps, let's look at that specifically as a lens. How do you continue to be authentic and genuine, but also need to drive revenue for your company?
By quitting if you don't believe in what you're selling. You can't imagine how much I love selling because I sell shit I believe in. Whether that was some weird Pinot Noir from Oregon when I was in the wine business, whether that was the K-Swiss sneakers I created, whether that's Wine Text, whether that's VaynerMedia. I think it's really hard for people in this room. If you don't believe in your product and the thing that you're offering, you're in a shitty spot, right? Because you inherently are not authentic. The game's over before you started. If you think you're selling somebody an obstructed view seat because you gotta move the inventory, or if you are trying to sell a suite and you know they're grossly overpriced because it's year 13 in your venue and the fixtures aren't as nice as they used to be, the liquor's a little diluted down, no more Grey Goose, it's now Smirnoff, you know what I mean? You gotta believe in what you fucking sell. And by the way, I'm not interested in sitting in my high horse. If you're actually sitting here and saying, I actually don't, but fuck Gary, like I can't quit my job. You don't have to do it right now, but you need to recognize it's true. And you should start the process of figuring that out. Otherwise, you're gonna be a cliche salesperson and they're gonna feel it.
So, you know, what advice would you give us on how to build authentic client relationships without coming off as phony?
You know, I like to tell people the truth, right? So if you came to me and I was the DC wine business, right? And you're like, look, I'm trying to get your business. I'm like, I respect that. I'm like, let's talk about it. You know, like, hey, I'm about the skins and I want to be on the field and you're going to trick me with that. And that's going to be the real hook why I buy that bullshit $80,000 sponsorship. But like, can you make it worth for my business a little bit better? You know, like just real, it works. And by the way, you're talking to somebody at 13 who was more full of shit than anybody I've ever met. I had a lot of gift of gab. I was a raw street kid that came from nothing and I was just trying to win. But I know what it looks like. And honesty and candor and ambition and kindness and listening. Listening's a beast. You know, I'm so confusing to people because I talk so much. I have a certain way of talking. I'm sure there's people here I've cursed a little bit that don't like that. I respect that. I come from where I come from. I am who I am. But every minute I'm not doing this, I'm listening. And in that listening, it's really made me powerful. And I think listening, right? If you see a big business in your region going on TikTok and going ham, you're listening, right? Got it? So when you call and be like, Carl, you're killing it on TikTok. Do you want to be our first sponsor on our pregame TikTok campaign? You see where I'm going? You're innovating. You're watching. You're listening. You're watching. You're listening. Don't come with the same playbook to everybody. Contextualize that shit.